Helen Burridge is manager of the Business Improvement District, St Albans BID, as it's properly known, and she's back with me. Last time we were chatting about retail and the sort of bricks and clicks concepts. Now, this time, you want to talk about the community, and I say who runs it, but who is the community?
I think in St Albans, we're really lucky to have a really engaged local population who express their myriad thoughts and opinions about the city and how it changes on social media. And so it will be as much that vocal online community as the people that come out for festivals and come out for events and the population that enjoys calling St Albans their home.
But who's really dictating what we look like? Because we've just had a great new cultural asset, the museum and gallery, that's been opened. We're going to have more being done at the cathedral fairly soon, the visitor centre and so on. So we've got these big iconic buildings that are key.
It's interesting. So in St Albans, the local community has a choice in its leisure time. A particularly generous choice. We've got Cambridge on our doorstep. We've got London even closer on our doorstep. We've got this gorgeous countryside around us. And most of the visitors to St Albans are actually what's called the VFR audience, which is the visiting friends and relations. And so what happens with tourism in St Albans at the moment is that it's a lot of messaging to the local community, the local residents, when they have visitors come to visit them, to not take them into London all the time, to not take them out into the countryside, but to keep them within the district and to show case the city. I think a lot of people do that. I think when their friends come to visit, they do want to take them around the town. They do want to take them to a local pub, take them around the parks, show them what they've got, show them what we've got and how we share that asset. The challenge that we have, though, is that that VFR audience can only ever really be finite. Not least of all, people's houses are becoming a bit more crowded. We have a bit of a shortage of beds, which is why the renovation of the BHS building into a hotel is so welcome. But I think also there is the other audiences that are ripe for St Albans. There's been a gap in the past between the aspiration of some of the local businesses in St Albans and the funding that's been available for tourism. And so the tourism budgets have been very squeezed. I think it's a really exciting time for St Albans in terms of the offer that we have. We've been using this phrase 2,000 years of visible history. We've been talking about the Verulamium Museum is one of the most visited schools museums in the southeast. It has more visitors than the Imperial War Museum at Duxford. It's an extraordinary asset. The number of kids that go through that museum is brilliant. We don't really talk about that. We think that everyone knows about the Romans, but they don't really. If you talk about Romans, you think about Roman York or you think about the City of London. People don't tend to think about St Albans outside of St Albans as a Roman city. We have the War of the Roses asset. We have the golf sporting asset. We've got the museum and gallery. We've got the cathedral to Britain's first saint with the longest nave in Europe. We've got Britain's oldest pub. We've got these amazing Tudor buildings. We've got the charter market. We've got retail. We've got this incredible offer, as well as the parks and green spaces, as well as the villages around it. But pulling that together into a succinct package that people understand has been a bit of a challenge. And I think in olden days, 15, 20 years ago, a destination management organisation, a DMO, would be responsible for deciding what that message is and then broadcasting it should the budget be there. And although St Albans has done that to an extent, particularly with the VFR audience, I don't know whether the local community might feel sometimes that tourism is a dirty word, or at least that it's somehow sort of tawdry or not a valuable way to attract somebody to a city. I'm not really sure, but I think there's a turn now. People don't tend to buy stuff. We talked about this before, the clicks to bricks. People want to, as Canterbury's recent destination management plan has said, people want to do fun things in old places. And I think St Albans is on the cusp of being a absolutely brilliant attraction. The line that I want to promote, and I think makes a lot of sense, is the best day trip from London. Nobody at the moment is claiming that as their headline. For people who come from far-flung places, I'm thinking the Chinese audiences, the American audiences, who want to see Britain in a week, they often do a week in London and they'll pop out to do one place. At the moment, York, Canterbury, Shakespeare Country, and all those kinds of things. I think that we could claim that day trip. It's completely manageable, particularly if you've got jet lag. You've got 2,000 years of history. You've got all the different bits. You've got your cathedral city, your Romans, your Tudors, your market. That little bit of regional, the Heritage Lottery Fund has funded an enormous amount of investment in the city centre. So they've got the museum and the cathedral. They suggested that we should claim it as the best free day trip from London. Those kinds of decisions need to be taken, I think, pretty soon. so that we don't get left further behind.
By free, you mean you can get into all these places or see the areas that you're walking through free of charge?
There's no charge to the cathedral entrance, yeah. And there won't be to the New Welcome Centre. There's no charge for the 90% of what happens at the museum and gallery. The market obviously doesn't charge. Winchester Cathedral charges to walk through the door. Jorvik Centre charges. Verulamium Museum is a couple of pounds. I think in terms of that as an attraction, I don't know about your other listeners, but I've got a young family. If I know I'm going somewhere there, the entrance ticket is 50 quid, I'll take a picnic and I'm not spending anything when I get there. If I know we're going somewhere where actually it's a nice open space and there's places to see that don't cost me additional money, I'll probably buy lunch when I'm there. And I think people will be more willing to spend and probably spend more than they would do on an entry ticket if they feel that what they're getting without additional cost is really attractive. And so I think the way that the city can talk about its offer is changing. But at the same time as we are consolidating our offer, there's this incredible force afoot in the form of social media and Instagram and influencers and Pinterest about St. Albans and about tourism in general, where other people are making decisions, forming opinions and curating our city in a way that we don't have control over.
Give us some context, because I'm immediately thinking museum and gallery. It opens in a building that you can't do a huge amount with, but they've done a fantastic job with what was there. I mean, they couldn't knock walls down, they couldn't break through. You've got to keep the courtroom, all those things. And then you get letters to the press saying, oh, it's rubbish, he hasn't got all the exhibits out. That they've got, you know, they've got cellars full of exhibits and they're not on show. Well, the reason is the building's not big enough to have everything.
But also, I don't think that's what people necessarily want. They want different experiences every time. They don't want to see a load of exhibits with labels that they have to read things out. They want to have fun in old places. People want to have a romp around a courtroom. I experienced this 10 years ago when I used to work in arts education. I worked for an art gallery doing their education program, and I was constantly in a push me pull you between the marketing department and the curators, because there is still a degree of anxiety between the intellectual gravitas of an exhibit and the marketing pull of what you could do with an exhibit to make it get more people through the door. A great example that we did at the Barbican years ago was a Victor and Rolf exhibition, which is major quirky fashion. We could have said fashion and got people through the door in an instant. And we did. We had a club night and we had all sorts of interesting ways of looking at fashion in a really light touch, frivolous way, you could argue, but it engaged a whole lot of people with an art gallery that they hadn't been to before. We talked about this before, this hierarchy of engagement with different cultural venues. But then you can have the intellectual discussion whereby you get the editor of a high profile magazine, art historian and a fashion commentator discussing why the pieces are culturally significant. And if you can do that in St. Albans Museum and Gallery, you can talk about the history that we've got in a really detailed and constructive way to understand how the history of the building and the history of the city informs the way that people use the space now. But you can also have people dressing up in jail costumes and pretending that they're in the dock. And I think those two can sit perfectly happily in the same building. Just because something isn't the way that it was before doesn't mean that it's automatically bad. And I think the way that people consume culture, the way that people consume a city and the way that people experience a city and what they look for in a cultural experience and in a tourism experience is changing. And I think we can't be snobby about that. I think we can make sure that our branding talks about what we aspire to. If you think about different cities in the country, you won't realise it, but their branding has in some way or another, whether it's formally or informally, spoken to you about what you think about that city. Hull, for example, had their Year of Culture a few years ago. Hilarious feedback from the community when they got their Year of Culture, with somebody on Twitter saying, there's more culture in the pot of yoghurt in my fridge. But then, by the end of the year, they'd actually told everyone, well, to quote a mug that they had printed, come to Hull, it's not anymore. I won't swear on your radio programme. And so you can turn a voice around, but if you talk about an other town in the north that's down on its luck, you have a thought about what that city means, but you think that York might be this or Winchester might be this, and you have an idea in your mind about what kind of offer. Your offer from Windsor is going to be different from the offer from Harrow. And that's just because people have in their minds what these kinds of cities want to be, what they aspire to be, and what they offer. I think in St. Albans, and I think more generally in tourism, the way that tourism has to go is almost creating a playbook for the businesses, for the residents, with an idea of what the city is, so that when people talk about their city, they are engaged with it and they say, oh, our city is quirky, our city is engaging, historical, our city is open to all. So, for example, the conference I went to recently, London has come up with three messages, and they have decided these messages carefully to appeal to different audiences. Now, they don't actively say them in taglines, but their three messages are: London is a creative energy. So that would appeal to business and to culture and encouraging businesses to work in a creative environment. A city of old versus new, which particularly appeals to a Chinese audience, which is incredibly important for London tourism. And then this other idea is the city of opportunity, which is partly for students and partly for business. And they've taken those three brands and those three slightly intersecting but slightly separate narratives to appeal in a particular way to particular international audiences, to make sure that their partners, when they talk about London and when the tourism gods of London talk about the city to others, that they're all singing off mostly the same song sheet, and individual brands can interpret that as they wish. But for example, Visit Britain puts on a display of London at most gay prides around the world because they want to show that we are a creative city, we're an inclusive city, we're a city of opportunity, and that speaks to the right audience with the right message, with the right engagement that promotes that city in the way that everybody's agreed on. St. Albans doesn't have that at the moment.
Two questions within. One, we must come back then to investment, because you have to invest, you have to spend in order to achieve anything.
Absolutely.
Where's the money? My guess, London's got a lot more than we have to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, are you saying that there's a potential or actual conflict between those of us who are residents saying, look, this is a 2,000-year-old city, we've got wonderful features, we don't want to be trampled all over. You know, even when the market gets too busy, when you get people coming from Watford and Boreham Wood, I mean, can't we just keep it local?
Yes.
Is there a conflict between that and, I would guess, the aspirations of the commercial, the businesses, is get as many people as you can, bring them quality people.
Well, exactly. And I think the nice thing is that actually I can answer both those questions with the same answer. And the lovely thing is that the businesses want the right audience. If we're going to be snobbish about it, everybody wants the right audience. You want the audience that will come, that will engage with the city in the way that you want to, and will spend their money, spend their time, respect, and I keep using the word engage. That's what it is. Experience the city. The money is tight. Money is always tight. And tourism is, and marketing is one of those costs that it's how long's a piece of string. And you could just keep on talking about a city, and it's incredibly hard to pinpoint, well, I saw that poster at King's Cross and therefore that's what got me here. But that article that you paid for in this thing, you can't break down that spend. And so it becomes really difficult trying to justify individual spends. However, what you can do, if you create this playbook that businesses feel they can chime into and that they can work alongside, then you can have the pub talking about St. Albans and the place that it is located within, chiming their brand into and playing alongside that St. Albans brand, because nobody, although you may come just for a pub, you may come just for a market stall, the likelihood is that there needs to be two or three reasons to get you to visit a city that you wouldn't otherwise normally. So if you can get the messages that everybody is talking about to be along the same lines, then collectively the spend of all those different micro and larger organisations within the city will all be speaking off the same song sheet, and actually the budgets will be much more disparate but will be all spent in the same direction. The interesting element as well that's developing is that strategic place branding, which is ultimately the byline of what we're talking about, it can be fed into all different areas of talking about place. I think the days of talking about a city as residence community and as a tourism attraction and as an economic centre for development, and those being three siloed subjects, is gone. People will make a decision about where they want to work based on where they can go for a drink afterwards and where the schools are good and where the local community is friendly and all those different decisions. And so if your brand of your identity of your city speaks to all those different audiences and is relevant and appropriate, you'll encourage economic development, you'll encourage investment, you'll encourage new businesses to set up because they want to align their brand with your brand. You'll encourage the visitors to come to engage with that brand, and you'll encourage the residents to speak about that brand, to want to live there and to want to work there. Just to be clear, none of this means that everyone's going to be walking around with a script in their pocket. It's not about that kind of didactic forcing. It's about getting a feeling about a city right. And I think it's going to be a process over the next year or so between the St. Albans Visitor Partnership, which includes all of the attractions, all the venues, all the people that are creating attractions and reasons to visit in the district, between the council, between the BID and the city centre businesses, probably between the district parishes as well, and other community groups and stakeholders who want to have a conversation about what St. Albans is to them. Because if we suddenly announce from the rooftops, we've decided that St. Albans is going to be X, it will get laughed out of the room. It has to come from the grass up. It has to be authentic, because then it will chime with people's experiences of the city.
How can you get people to contribute to the thinking? You said at the beginning, St Albans is a very engaged, the local community is very engaged. I'm not sure how many, quotes, creative industries other than nice retail shops. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of IT stuff going around. I know
on the contrary, there very much is.
But they're not so visible, are they, to us?
Exactly that. So there's a fantastic virtual reality company in St Albans City Centre. They were the ones who kindly funded, completely gratis, the projection onto the clock tower last year because their offices happened to overlook the clock tower. They don't work with St Albans businesses. They happen to sit there because the owner didn't want to commute into London every day. And so they have to work particularly hard to attract young professional designer creatives who would otherwise be in Soho into St Albans. There's loads of creative businesses in St Albans. There's marketing, there's research, there's a number of different businesses. In answer to your original question, how do we engage the community? The great thing about, I keep going back to social media, and it's not that it's a cheat sheet, it's that fact that people are already expressing their opinions there. Canterbury recently did a similar project where they had a destination management plan funded by the Business Improvement District. What they discovered is that the DMO, the destination management organisation of Visit Canterbury and Visit Kent, were talking about Canterbury and showcasing photography within their marketing campaigns that bore no relation to how people were talking about it on Instagram. Instagram is an incredibly visual medium, if your listeners don't know. It's basically, it's largely large photographs, beautifully poised to the extent of, you know, airbrushing and insanity sometimes. But the photographs that Canterbury Tourism were putting out were, look at this beautiful building, look at this lovely architecture, look at this very nice statue. And it was all relatively formal, quite traditional, and overly respectful of the built environment and of the old. What Instagram was showing is that loads of people were visiting, but they were taking pictures of their kids sticking their tongues out in front of X, or them messing about on the river, or their plate of food surrounded by people and not just the old building that the restaurant happened to be in. And until you chime with those people and those audiences, you're never going to amplify that voice, because actually you're not promoting your city in the way that people are experiencing it. And also you're not then saying you too can have this experience as well. And so most of their destination management plan says is a complete change in photography style. The messaging, people know Canterbury, and actually the challenge with Canterbury is giving people a reason to visit. That's their problem. I don't think people know about St Albans. And even if they do, I don't think that they have an understanding of the range of opportunity that we've got. The challenge, of course, is that Stratford's got Shakespeare. York's got Vikings and an abbey. And yeah, you know, and it's relatively succinct. I think the challenge that we've got, being a day's ride from London, is that we have so many equally impressive but isolated attractions. It's quite hard to pull it together into one message. And I think what I want to see over the next year, and what we're looking at doing with Enjoy St Albans, the tourism website, is trying to create the narrative of there being lots of different reasons to come here without it being, we've got loads of stories, you choose which one you like. That, I think, is going to be a little bit of a challenge, because there's so many different ways to engage and so many different audiences. It can feel that there's something for everybody, so just come along. But everyone knows that something for everybody means nothing for no one. The other challenge, of course, is the fact, you know, the War of the Roses started with the Battle of St Albans. You show me the artifact that tells us that. It's a courtyard in between two pubs and a restaurant and a clock tower, and there's a small plaque on the wall. And not least of all, the other element, which is what's taught in schools. And so there's a fantastic segment of tourism audience called the Travelling Education Group, which you'd think is sort of the 18-year-olds. It's not. It's the middle-class families who basically go on weekends away in order to further their children's education. The translation of that is, if your kids are doing Romans, you might go to York for the weekend, stick them in the Jorvik Museum, and then you can go out for dinner and not feel guilty. It's the how do the middle class. It's that audience, and they spend money. And the two words that will put fear in the heart of anyone in St Albans, because it's not in St Albans, so I apologise in advance, is Harry Potter. So Harry Potter, I am desperate for one of the new movies to be filmed somewhere, just somewhere. I literally don't care where. Just film, do some scene with somebody with a wand somewhere in the district. It would make life much easier. As it stands, Harry Potter World is one of the biggest attractions in the country. It claims to be Harry Potter World London. And so the vast majority of people that go there either get a bus from King's Cross, or they will get the train to Watford. And Watford Junction Station, if anyone's been to it, is peppered with Harry Potter World. There's your bus. The bus directional signs are in 12 different languages. Get on the bus, go to Harry Potter World and come back again. St Albans Abbey Line gets you from Watford Junction to St Albans in 16 minutes. is there a way that we can tap into that audience? Is there that educational tourism audience where we can say to the families, by all means, take your kids to Harry Potter on the Saturday. Why don't you come and stay over in St. Albans? You can do Romans, you can do the museum, you can have a nice free cultural weekend away where it's not all death by kids with wands. I say this with a lot of love for Harry Potter, so this is all relatively tongue-in-cheek, but I do think that there's an audience there that we are not capitalising on, partly because people don't see St. Albans as local to Harry Potter World. They don't know about all the things that St. Albans offers, and the number of people who travel across the country to come 15 minutes away from us and we are not tapping into that is a massive untapped opportunity that I think we really ought to work on.
We're running out of time. What are you going to do next? What's next on this front then?
So St. Albans Business Improvement District has spent the last year working with the Visitor Partnership to create enjoystalbans.com's new facelift. And so we've taken the URL and we've worked together to create an entirely new website. And what that website is seeking to do, rather than being a death by listing site, it is looking to work with voices and influencers and all those lovely buzzwords to create top 5 places to go for a drink, top 10 places to see Roman history, and those kinds of ways that people engage with tourism decisions now, rather than just this is the city, these are the attractions, these are the opening times. So it's going to be much more content editorial led and very visual. So if anyone has not been on Enjoy St. Albans for a while, then pop along. It's very beautiful. So enjoystalbans.com is launched and fabulous. BID is going to be looking at now pulling together all the different audiences, all the different messages, and seeing with the St. Albans Visitor Partnership what a messaging destination management plan for the city might look like. And then we're going to be working on Instagram and social feeds to try and pull those messages together, and then talking to our businesses about how they can work with that brand to help emphasise and elevate their own messages to align with what we're talking.
Okay, and if anybody wants to put their two penneth in and communicate, what do they use? Twitter?
Twitter's a great one for conversations. I think if I would love to hear what people think about tourism, what they think about their community, and what they think about what St. Albans stands for. So if you go to Twitter, our St. Albans BID handle is @St. Albans_BID. On Twitter, or us, we're obviously on Facebook and Instagram as well, and have a chat and tell us what you think.
Thanks, Ella.
Thank you very much. See you soon.